hearts, our lives today from Revelation chapter number 5. And we'll begin down in verse number 8. The Bible says, "And when he had taken the book, the four beasts and the 24 elders fell down before the Lamb, having every one of them harps and golden vials full of odors, which are the prayers of the saints. And they sung a new song, saying, Thou art worthy to take the book, and open the seals thereof. For thou wast slain and hast redeemed us to God by thy blood out of every kindred and tongue and people and nation. And hast made us unto our God kings and priests, and we shall reign on the earth. And I beheld, and I heard the voice of many angels round about the throne, and the beasts, and the elders. And the number of them was 10,000 times 10,000, and thousands of thousands, saying with a loud voice, Worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive power, and riches, and wisdom, and strength, and honor, and glory, and blessing. And every creature which is in heaven, and on the earth, and under the earth, and such as are in the sea, and all that are in them, heard I saying, Blessing, and honor, and glory, and power be unto him that sitteth upon the throne, and unto the Lamb forever and ever. And the four beasts said, Amen. And the 24 elders fell down and worshipped him that liveth forever and ever." That is the latter part of Revelation chapter number 5. I've been tremendously blessed in my lifetime of being in some amazing worship services. I flip through the pages of my mind and I go back down through the years and memory, and I think about services that I was in that seemed like the presence of God was just so real that you feel like you could almost just reach out and touch the Lord. Those times I'll never forget, and I think about quite often. But the thing about all of those services is that some point they had to come to an end. Maybe it was a time issue that we ended up saying, well, we'll have to end the service. People have places to go and things to do. Sometimes because of weariness and tiredness that physically you're not able to continue on in a service, and we dismiss and go to our homes and rest. There have been times that the atmosphere of worship was so great and so mighty, and then all of a sudden something happens and something changes, and it's like that the atmosphere goes from here down to here, and you wonder what happened and what took place. Sometimes Satan himself will distract our minds and get our attention on other things and we lose our concentration on worship. Those things happen so often in our lives, in our times of worship. But John is seeing a time of worship unlike anything we have ever experienced in this life or ever will experience. As great as times of worship have been down here, there is no comparison to the worship that'll take place in the city of God. John, with his pen, gives us a up-close picture of worship in heaven, where the redeemed of all ages shall gather together in the city of God and worship around the throne of the Lord. Every time we gather for worship down here, it is always different. Sometimes the atmosphere is different. Sometimes the congregation is different. There are people that were here one Sunday but are not able to be here the next Sunday. Sometimes people are working. Sometimes people are sick. Sometimes things happen and we're just not able to gather in the same manner every time. But there'll be no hindrances over there. There'll be no limitations. There'll be no sickness. There'll be no working to be done. There'll be nothing that draws our attention from Him. And it'll be a time of wondrous worship. I'd like to share just a few thoughts today about John's vision of heavenly worship. John's vision of heavenly worship. Ask you to notice with me, first of all, that John gives us a picture of the worship. In verse 8, John says, and when he had taken the book, the four beasts and the 24 elders fell down before the Lamb, having every one of them harps and golden vials full of odors, which are the prayers of the saints. John identifies, first of all, something about the participants. John says here that the four beasts and the 24 elders, I have identified already that those beasts are cherubim or seraphim around the throne of God. They are created for the purpose of carrying out worship and the bidding of God of the Father. And we have identified the 24 elders as a representative of all of the saints of God down through time. The saints of all ages, all of creation has been longing for this time. As we find that they gather there at the home and they see him as the Lamb of God taking the book in his hand, and they recognize that he is the one that is worthy to open the book. I notice that they are not talking about how hard that life was for them on earth. I find that they're not discussing among themselves about the burdens and the sorrows of life, but they are focused on the Lamb. They are worshiping and honoring him. Says in verse 8 that they fell down before the Lamb, showing his honor, showing he's worthy, showing the glory of the Lamb. Oh, they have, it says in their hands, harps. There are only two instruments found in the book of Revelation. There are trumpets and there are harps. It says here that everyone, each of the elders, has a harp. In the Old Testament, the harp was an instrument of worship. And that is what it is in heaven. And we may say, but preacher, I don't know anything about a harp. I don't know how to play a harp. Well, I'll be honest with you, I don't either. But I believe in heaven that I'll know how to play one. I don't think the Lord would give us a harp to play, and then we scratch our heads and say, Lord, I don't know what to do with it. Oh, but in heaven, there will be given harps that we may play in worship unto him. Sometimes I have a hard time playing the radio. Oh, but I won't have any problem of playing a harp in the city of God. But notice not only the participants and the praise, but the prayers. It says in verse 8, having every one of them harps and golden vials full of odors, which are the prayers of the saints. Now that may sound a little strange and odd. Those golden vials are golden bowls, as well we can say it. And says they're full of odors, which are the prayers of the saints. In the Old Testament economy, the high priest would offer incense on the altar of the incense. That incense represented prayer being lifted up unto God the Father, called the sweet savor unto the Lord. The psalmist in Psalm 141 and verse 2 says, let my prayer be set before thee as incense, and the lifting of my hands as the evening sacrifice. In these bowls, these vials, are the intercessions, the pleadings, the burdens, the tearful prayers, the agonies of saints of all ages that have been prayed unto the Father. Preacher, help us understand that. You see, prayer is ever a wasted thing. Sometimes we think, God, are you listening? God, are you hearing? God, are you paying attention? Of course He is. Of course He hears our prayers. But our prayers are never lost. They go up as incense before the throne of God. And that's what He is saying here, that God has got all contained in vows, our prayers, the prayers of the saints. Sometimes, as Brandon taught, sometimes for now, God says no. Sometimes God says yes. Sometimes He says later. Just wait. But all of those prayers that we have prayed are kept by the Father. God knows every prayer. How many times have we had prayed and said, Lord, would you just come on back? How many times have we prayed and asked for suffering to end? How many times have we asked for healing to come? How many times have we asked for Satan's forces to be defeated? How many times have Christians said, Thy kingdom come, Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. I want to tell you, they're all brought before God in fulfillment. You say, now wait a minute, preacher. Are you saying that God's going to answer those prayers? He may not answer them all here, but He will there. That prayer for healing, God may not give healing here, but it'll be answered there. That prayer that you ask for suffering to come to an end, it may not end in this life, but it'll end there in His presence. That desire that's in your heart, God may answer it now, but in fulfillment, it'll all be over there. He says there in those vials, golden vials full of odors, the prayers of the saints. So I say to you, child of God, just keep praying. You say, I've been a praying a long time for God to work and move and do and help and all of those things. Seems like He's not listening. Oh, He is. So you just keep on praying. So we see the picture of the worship. Then John gives us something about the purpose of the worship. John says in verse 9, and they sung a new song. The first time that God's children are found singing in the Bible is in Exodus chapter 15. After crossing over the Red Sea, and after Pharaoh and his armies are destroyed, they begin to sing the song of Moses. They sing praise to God for deliverance. I think that's part of what's going to be going on here is a song of deliverance by the saints of God. But he says it's a new song. It's a song that the saints of God have never altogether being able to sing. I love congregational singing, don't you? I love it. I love choir singing. I love solos, duets. I love trios and quartets. I love it all, but I love it when congregations all begin to sing. But even when congregations sing, Honestly, not everybody sings. Some feel like they can't sing. Because of my voice issues, I have a hard time trying to sing, and so I often don't. If I do, I do it real low. I hum a lot. Sometimes when they're singing, I hum. I just hum along with it. But I want to tell you, isn't it going to be something that one of these days in the city of God, that all the saints of God will be able to sing together? Maybe you say, preacher, I can't carry a tune in a bucket. But over there, thank God we'll all join together singing a new song. Notice, it is a song about our Redeemer. He says in verse 9, he said, they sung a new song saying, thou art worthy to take the book and to open the seals thereof. And then in verse 12, saying with a loud voice, worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and blessing. The song may be simple, but powerful in what it's about. The song simply is, worthy is the Lamb. I want to tell you, that's easy to say, isn't it? There isn't anything complicated about those words. They're not words designed for college graduates. I want to tell you, a 5-year-old child can sing the words, worthy is the Lamb. Why, we told our kids when they was just 9 and nothing about Mary having a little lamb. Oh, I want to tell you, we're still teaching our children spiritually about a woman named Mary having a lamb. And it was the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world. And that's going to be the focus of our worship, our praise in heaven. Oh, listen. Oh, we may have time. We've got eternity. But we may have time somewhere to talk with all of the saints of old. But our focus is going to be, thou art worthy. Worthy, worthy is the Lamb. They said to take the books and book and open the seals thereof. He's the only one that can do that. To give the redemption of this world. Get it out of the hands of Satan. And to come then and reign for 1,000 years. Thou art worthy. So it's a song about our Redeemer. But it's a song about our redemption. Notice the last part of verse 9. He said, for thou hast slain and hast redeemed us to God by thy blood. Thou hast slain. That word slain speaks of being butchered and slaughtered. Isaiah said in his prophecy about the death of Christ, said his vision was marred more than any man. They tell us that what Isaiah was saying is that he didn't even look like a human being hanging on the cross, just a piece of raw flesh because of what they had done to him in torture and suffering. But said they begin to praise and say, thou was slain, and he was. But they're also saying that you redeemed us to God. His death in our stead, paid for our redemption to a holy and righteous God. Maybe some of you remember it. I remember years ago people singing the song, "I should have been crucified. I should have suffered and died." And I understand that the point they were getting at. But can I tell you, it wouldn't have helped me one bit if I would have been the one on the cross. It wouldn't have paid for my sins. It wouldn't have gained me salvation. Because I would have just been a sinner dying and going to hell. It took the sinless Son of God dying on the cross for our sins to have life. I'm glad He came and paid the price. And that's what our song is going to be about. Thou art worthy to take the book. Because You died for our sins. And You have redeemed us to God the Father. But then He talks about, He said, out of every kindred and tongue and people and nation. I want to tell you, it is a supreme death that He died for all men. For all men. He redeems from all nations and cultures and creeds and colors and languages. There's not any that the blood can atone for and won't atone for. I don't want to disappoint you. I hope it don't hurt your feelings. But the heaven's not going to be divided in sections. The Baptists are over here, and the Methodists are there, and the Lutherans are here, and the Presbyterians there. And heaven ain't divided like that. But it is all the family of God coming together. All those distinctions of denominations and all of that, they're not going to mean a thing over there. Because we're just the family of God. Been paid for out of every kindred and tongue and nation and people. Man, there's going to be people that were born in China, Russia, people from Afghanistan, people from Africa, people from the United States and Mexico, South America, from all over the world. Going to gather together in the city of God. I want to tell you what a time that's going to be. I believe, I'll be honest with you, it is there that we're going to fully realize just what it took to purchase our salvation. We talk about it here, and we talk about how thankful we are, and we are. I know we are. But I believe when we see Him, and when we see the nail prints that's in His hands, and we realize, as I've heard Chris say in teaching, when we realize what He gave up to come to this world as a servant, to suffer and die for our salvation, I think then we're going to really realize just how wondrous salvation is. And that's why we're going to sing worthy. We're not going to say, "Oh, Lord, I did this, and Lord, I had that, and I faced this, and I had a..." All of that won't mean a hill of beans when we look on His face and we just say, "Lord, You're worthy. You're worthy. It is all about You and all You've done for me. Lord God, You're worthy." But notice what He said about our relationship. In verse 10 He said, "And has made us unto our God kings and priests, and we shall reign on earth." I want to tell you, God has made us royalty, kings and priests. I want to tell you, I'm just a little nothing of a person that grew up in a nothing of a town and a nothing of a county in North Carolina. I want to tell you, there wasn't nothing spectacular about Taylorsville, North Carolina. I guess the biggest thing that happened in Taylorsville was Harry Kent, the race car driver. Most people wouldn't have a clue who he is anymore. I'll tell you, it's just a little nothing place on the side of the road in North Carolina. I don't look like much to this whole world. They don't see me as anything coming from anywhere, doing anything. But in the eyes of Him, I'm going to make king and priest. And I'm going to reign with Him on this earth. Oh, my Lord. If that ever just grab a hold of us to realize what we have in Him. But then I want to close and say just a little bit about the participants of the worship. It won't take me but a minute. In verse 11, John said, "And I beheld, and I heard the voice of many angels around about the throne, and the beast, and the elders." Oh, that's a big crowd. "And the number of them was 10,000 times 10,000 and thousands of thousands." I'll save you a little time. Don't get out your calculator. And don't start punching in 10,000 times 10,000 and thousands. Don't do that. Because the number is not given for you to try to figure out and calculate. John was saying there's a number bigger than you can count. Here's a number greater than I could even look at and figure out. He said there was 10,000 times 10,000 and thousands of thousands gathered around about, and they were worshiping Him. You say, "Preacher, who all's there?" Well, he tells us that the celestial beings are there. He said there were angels round about the throne and the beast. Those angels and beasts, those cherubim, seraphim, they were all round about. They can't sing about redemption, but they can sure praise Him for creation. And they can sure praise Him for the redemption of His children. They don't know what salvation is. They don't know the sin. They don't know those things. But they can praise Him for what He's done for His children. And then he said the 24 elders representing all the saints of God. I want to tell you, they're going to be praising Him. There's going to be Old Testament saints there like Moses, David, Joseph, Solomon, Isaiah, Daniel, and all of them, more and more. There's going to be the New Testament saints like Harry and Joseph and Martha and Lazarus and Mary and Zacchaeus and the thief that was on the cross that repented and the Philippian jailer and Paul the apostle. Oh, they're going to be there. I thought of something, and you know, it's just how I think. John saw all of the family of God, and John saw himself with all of the family of God. Now, he may not have picked himself out in the crowd, but John saw himself there. But can I tell you something? He saw you there, and he saw me there. I want to tell you, as far as God is concerned, I'm already there. I'm as good as there. There ain't one thing the devil can do about that. There ain't nothing that's going to change that. God sees us as good as that. John said it's a number beyond counting. But then notice the 13th verse, and I'm finishing. "And every creature which is in heaven and on the earth and under the earth, and such as are in the sea, and all that are in them, heard I saying, blessing and honor and glory and power be unto him that sitteth upon the throne and unto the Lamb forever and ever. All these created beings shall worship him. He said, even under the earth. And I remind you, the Apostle Paul said there was going to come a day that every knee would bow and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. I don't know. This may be that time. I don't know. But every knee is going to bow. Every knee is going to bow and every tongue is going to confess it. From all down through time, every individual will bow before him. Saints of God will fall down before him in praise and honor and worship. Even the wicked are going to bow the knee and say, God, you were right and we were wrong. And you're God. And it'll be the glory of God the Father. And then John ends the record of the worship service. It didn't end. But he ended his record and he said, and the four beasts said, Amen. And the 24 elders fell down and worshiped him that liveth forever and ever. Can you imagine what it's going to be like? I can't. I read these things and I can get little pictures, but can you imagine what it's going to be like to be in that kind of a service, that kind of an atmosphere, that kind of worship, and not grow weary, and not go tired, and not get to aching from sitting, you know, or your knees get to hurting, or you've got a headache, or somewhere you've got to be, something you've got to do. Can you imagine what it's going to be like? Just to worship him, to fall before him and say, you're worthy, you're worthy, you're worthy. Of a day, Psalm 95 and 6 says, O come, let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel before the Lord, our Maker. I don't want to wait till then. I want to worship him now. I don't want to wait till I get to heaven and say, oh, then I'm going to join in. I want to worship him now. I want to be able to praise him now so that when I get over there, I'll just fit right in and just keep on praising him, keep on worshiping. What a day in heaven that'll be. What a day. I'm going to be there. You? Do you know you're going to be there? I can say John saw me over there because I'm one of those redeemed ones washed in the blood of the Lamb. Thank God. Oh, what encouragement to the child of God in a world that's so sick and disgusting and horrible and hateful and wicked, just to realize this world ain't my home. And one day over there, I'm going to see him and be able to say, worthy. Worthy, worthy. Thank God. Brother Kevin, would you get us a song? And ladies, would you come to the instrument? I don't know what need you may have in your heart. Maybe today the Lord just wanted to encourage you. And maybe today the Lord just wanted to remind you, hang on, weary pilgrim, one day we're going to get home. Things are not always going to be like this. Things are not always going to be in this whole wicked world. But one of these days, we're going to gather around the throne and cry worthy and fall before him in praise and honor and glory and worship the Lamb. That's what it's all about. That's what it's all about. That's what's going to make heaven heaven is him. That's what's going to make it so real. Let's stand. This altar's open. If there's a need in your heart, you listen to the Lord today.